These are the headlines for midnight. This is Tom Rowe with the WGXC News. You can go to newsroom.wgxc.org for more information about anything you hear here, including links to all the local publications, blogs, Twitter feeds, newspapers, magazines, and more at newsroom.wgxc.org. Anyone trying to pull up a Wikipedia entry on Wednesday, January 18th, faced a blocked-out page reading, quote, "Imagine a world without free knowledge," unquote. The site is one of the many that shut down to protest two pieces of proposed legislation before Congress, the House's Stop Online Piracy Act and the Senate's Protect IP Intellectual Property Act, SOPA and PIPA, they're called. They were designed to attack the problem of foreign websites that sell pirated or counterfeit goods. But tech companies see the laws as dangerous overreach that would add burdensome costs and new rules threatening the free exchange of ideas and information on the internet. Other sites that have shut down for the day reportedly include Reddit, Boing Boing, and others. David A. Fehrenrott in the Washington Post writes that Wikipedia, with 2.7 billion U.S. visitors per month, is probably the largest site involved in the protest. Locally, both New York senators, Democrats Chuck Schumer and Kirsten Gillibrand, support the legislation, while Republican Chris Gibson of Kinderhook gave WGXC this statement. Quote, "The congressman certainly recognizes that online piracy is a significant issue and one that needs to be addressed. That being said, as SOPA is currently proposed, he believes there are valid concerns. One of the hallmarks of the internet has been its relative freedom from regulation and that it is something which needs to be preserved. The legislation in the House is currently at the committee level on a committee Congressman Gibson is not on and has yet to be finalized. Thus, before making a final decision, we'll be carefully reviewing what amendments and changes are made. But if the bill was considered as proposed today, he would vote no." So Republican Chris Gibson is against SOPA and PIPA as it is now, and Democrat Senators Chuck Schumer and Kirsten Gillibrand are in favor. In the Albany Times-Union, the reports that Andrew Cuomo has amassed $14.4 million in campaign contributions so far and has posted a list of the governor's biggest donors on its Capital Confidential page. NYPERG also posts the complete list of Cuomo donors, and you can see that in the Albany Times-Union. Price Chopper recalled some of its store brand shredded cheese Wednesday. The recall comes amid concerns there may be shredded plastic fragments mixed inside. Any 16-ounce bags of the grocery chain's Coyote Joe's shredded taco cheese with an expiration date of April 21st, 2012, can be returned to any Price Chopper store for a full refund. The cheese was sold between January 4th and January 17th. Governor Andrew Cuomo used his budget address on Tuesday, January 17th, to unveil a series of non-budget-related proposals, including a five-year plan to take over increases in Medicaid from counties, a new pension tier including a 401k-style option, and making additional school funding contingent on adopting a teacher evaluation system, threatening that a failure to do so would jeopardize federal funding. Quote, "The equation is simple at the end of the day. No evaluation, no money, period," Cuomo, unquote, Cuomo said. Carl Korn of the New York State Teachers Union, NYSUT, spoke to WGXC's Noah Reibel on Monday about the teachers' evaluation dispute. Korn said politicians are blaming the unions for holding up the process, even though the state is appealing a court decision that went the union's way. Here is Noah Reibel's interview with Carl Korn.
Carl, are you there?
I am there. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. We wanted to have a representative of the union on the air today because it does seem like the union's been taking it on the chin from pretty much everyone this past week, from the education, the federal government level, the Education Department Secretary Arne Duncan, to the governor's office, to the mayor of New York City, Bloomberg, who's been threatening to replace staff at 33 troubled schools in the city. But it seems like the initial flap was about an ongoing dispute between the unions and the cities and the municipalities in the state over teacher assessments. So we were hoping that you could give us some background and give us the union's perspective on this dispute.
Sure. So let's just take it back. When I was in school, and many of your listeners were in school, the teacher's evaluation consisted of an assistant principal coming into the back of the room with a clipboard and making checks in boxes. And unfortunately, over the years, that system really hasn't changed too much. And teachers didn't like it. They called them drive-by evaluations. And they weren't necessarily good for students because they were very subjective, and they were wrong as often as they were right. In May of 2010, as part of the Race to the Top competition, I said to the teachers unions and the Education Department and the Board of Regents reached agreement on a new way of evaluating teachers that in part uses standardized test scores, but also uses multiple measures as a way of assessing student achievement and teacher performance. And MISA was on board with that. We believe that the new law, the new teacher evaluation law, is the right law. It provides for a comprehensive, fair, and rigorous approach to evaluating teachers. And we want to ensure that only the best teachers are in the classroom in front of students, and that students are learning, and that those teachers who are ineffective, consistently ineffective, are removed and find another line of work. And I know that sounds unusual for a teachers union to say that, but it was courageous on our part because we want to ensure that students achieve at high levels, and only the best teachers are in the classroom.
So, Carl, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you. So the teachers union is not opposed to the idea of teachers' assessment per se.
No, not at all. In fact, this is the point. We signed on to the law, and in fact, the U.S. Department of Education awarded New York $700 million in Race to the Top, largely on the strength of this new law and on the collaboration that was taking place between teachers' unions and the regions and the State Education Department. But as they say, a funny thing happened. And that funny thing was in May of this year, the Board of Regents adopted regulations that were not consistent with the law. What they sought to do was to double the weight of standardized tests from 20% to 40% in a teacher's evaluation.
So these are student standardized tests that would weigh in the evaluation of teacher performance?
Right. What the agreement was and what the law says is that 20% of a teacher's evaluation shall be based on state standardized tests. A second 20% shall be based on other locally developed measures of student achievement, portfolio, final exams, tests that a BOCES might design, or even tests that was purchased off the shelf. And the compromise was that, you know, some people said that 40% should be based on test scores. Nice, it says, well, if you're going to base 40% on test scores, it shouldn't be just one test. We didn't believe it was fair or accurate, research-backed, to take, 25 8-year-olds, how they do on one test on one day, and base a teacher's entire evaluation, and essentially their career, on how those students did on one day or one test. We thought that having multiple measures, having a set of data points, was more accurate than one data point.
Well, Carl, let me ask you, how far do you think the teachers' union is prepared to take this? Do you think it's worthwhile to potentially jeopardize all of this money? I guess the New York Daily News is reporting today that it's $1 billion as opposed to previously reported $700,000 and raised to the
Well, you know, we try to set aside the rhetoric and work with facts. And the fact is, once the New York State Board of Regents adopted regulations that were inconsistent with the law, we sued, we went to court, and the courts found in the teachers' union's favor. And, the U.S. Department of Education said that there were two issues holding up the money. One was the lawsuit. And as I've just stated, the teachers won the lawsuit. It's the state that is appealing. The State Education Department is appealing the lawsuit. And not only are they appealing the lawsuit, but a settlement offer has been on the table for more than 2 weeks. It's a settlement offer that would meet the needs of the bureaucracy in Albany. And they have not responded. They have been silent. The second piece is the lack of a working data system. Obviously, if you're going to be punching all these test scores and these numbers into a big computer and analyzing them, you need to have a data system. Well, it's the State Education Department that has failed to develop the data system, not the teachers union. So, we are frustrated as well. We would like to see the law implemented as written. We're prepared to roll up our sleeves and make this law work. Unfortunately, the Board of Regents, the State Education Department, has not met us halfway.
Carl, I want to thank... Oh, and we have a question from...
No.
Jack? No. We have a high school student with us today, so we were going to involve him in the conversation. But
well, Carl, that'd be fantastic.
I want to thank you very much. I did have one final question. It seemed a little calculated or coordinated to have one after the other of these officials coming forward into the press. Do you feel like the teachers are under fire as a result of a sort of coordinated attack where they've taken the negotiations out of the back room and they're battling this out in the press? Is this the right forum for this debate to happen? Should it be happening in negotiations, or does it need to happen in public like this? What do you think?
Well, as I stated before, you have the political piece of this, and Albany is Albany, and Albany has been Albany for over 100 years. The other side of it is that you have a lot of local school districts working hand-in-hand with their teachers' unions, trying to develop these comprehensive, rigorous, and fair evaluation system. It's very, very complex work. It's very, very difficult. It's all happening as $1.3 billion in education funds were being cut, and teachers are being laid off. So this is hard work. And rather than scolding and using rhetoric, we welcome everybody pitching in and trying to resolve these issues so we can all move forward on behalf of the state's children.
All right. Well, we've been talking to Carl Korn. He's the chief press officer for the New York State Teachers Unions about an ongoing dispute the teachers union is having over teacher assessments, among other issues, with the state and with the federal government. So thank you very much for taking the time to come on the show, Carl.
Anytime. Thank you very much.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The National Weather Service predicts for Thursday in Stuyvesant a slight chance of snow showers after 3 p.m., increasing clouds with a high near 29. Thursday night, there's a chance of snow showers mainly before 5 a.m. with a low around 19. New snow accumulation 1 to 2 inches possible. The weekend forecast Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 27, low around 15. Saturday, snow likely, cloudy with a high near 26, low around 18. Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 34, low around 26. And Monday, a chance of rain, snow, freezing rain, and sleet, mostly cloudy with a high near 43. This is the third Thursday of the month, and there are town meetings today in Ankrum. The board meets at 7 p.m. at the town hall in Ankrum. 329-6512 is the number to call if you want more information about meetings in Ankrum. Chad on the town board meets at 7 p.m. at town hall. Columbia County, there's a public safety committee meeting at 6 p.m. at the county office building. In Copaic, the Comprehensive Planning Committee meets at 7:30 p.m. at Town Hall. Durham, there's a town board meeting at 7:30 p.m. at the town building in East Durham. Ghent, a 6:45 public hearing before the Ghent Town Board considers the adoption of the local law, which would amend the zoning law to include a definition of the word use. There's also a town board meeting in Ghent. The Green IDA meets at their monthly board meeting at 8 a.m. at Green County IDA office at 270 Mansion Street in Coxsackie. And the Wyndham Town Board meets at 8 p.m. at Town Hall in Hensonville. The sun rises at 7:19 a.m. and sets at 4:49 p.m. The moon rises at 8:54 in the evening, and last night's moon sets at 9:01 this morning. The Golden State Warriors lost to the New Jersey Nets 107-100 yesterday. The New York Knicks lost to the Phoenix Suns 91-88. And tune in later today on WGXC to Tell It Like It Is at 10 a.m. Host Christina Malisoff and Kieran Riley talk to Kathy Manley, the vice president of the New York Civil Liberties Union, about the recently approved National Defense Authorization Act. And tune in to 69 tonight at 9:30 p.m., where the Magic Stranger celebrates Janis Joplin on 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.